To the brightest audience in the country. This is Joe Scott filling in for Bob Enyart, and today with me is Leslie Hanks. Hi, Leslie.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. My honor. Leslie is the vice president of Colorado Right to Life, and coming up at the end of the month is a banquet, and I want Leslie to be able to tell us about that and invite us all out.
Oh, that would be fun to let the listeners know. We are having a Light on Life banquet September 30th. And we are very excited. This year we are having a medical researcher named Eve Silver, and she is a chief expert in the country on the correlation between abortion and breast cancer. And Joe, I know your listeners may not be aware of this. We're working as hard as we can to help get people informed that there is a real strong correlation, and unfortunately, with Race for the Cure coming up, the city is just geared up to try to battle back against breast cancer, but they are missing the major link that is making it such a problem in America today. So Eve is going to be very, very articulate on that topic, and we're just blessed to have her as a guest today. So,
yes, Eve is a guest today. Eve, we're delighted to have you with us.
I'm very happy to be back on this show. It's actually been 2 years almost exactly.
Really? I didn't realize it's been that long. We should have had you way before this. Eve, you're a researcher you're the director of CLEAR Research. Can you tell us what that is?
Actually, CLEAR Research, I have been involved in CLEAR Research now for, I guess, about 6 or 8 years, I forget. But at any rate, the work that I've been involved in is looking at health disparities for minority populations and what the differences are. Especially at this point, one of the things I'm most concerned about is the health disparity and the information concerning the abortion breast cancer link and how that information is not getting out to women.
Minorities, and not just minorities, it's not getting out to any women.
That's right. Exactly. No, but I'm saying that these specific concerns of my work originally was for involving minority women, but then I realized that this information really does need to get out into the information areas for all women, because all women are affected by breast cancer, and those statistics are getting worse.
I know, Eve, that you've been affected by breast cancer yourself.
Yes, by both abortion and breast cancer. I'm a two-time abortion survivor, two-time breast cancer survivor, and I believe that, especially knowing now what I know, I wrote a deposition for Alaska where I explained it for the first time publicly that I know that it would have made a huge difference in my life if I had realized not only the link between abortion and breast cancer, but the fact that I was carrying a little human being inside of me. The idea of, you know, when you're 16 years old, that it's nothing more than a lump of tissue, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We've heard of that many times. Makes a huge, huge difference to young women, and they need to know what the risks are.
And you
I certainly could have used that information.
I know a lot of young women that say that today. A little bit too late, but they're saying it today. You said that you did a deposition for Alaska. What do you mean by that?
Yes, it was a deposition for Alaska. It was an amicus curiae for Alaska, and gave my deposition at a time when they were considering putting information about the abortion breast cancer link into the website that they were doing, the health website that they were doing at the time. And I was invited to write a deposition, which is available on the information. Actually, the entire deposition is available at www.pinkmoney.org.
Did they actually put your deposition on their website?
They weren't asking us to provide depositions for the website, but rather to explain what the importance was of having this kind of information on websites and making it available to people.
Eve, let's get real basic. I'm assuming that we have some women in the audience today that are maybe they're hearing this for the very first time, that there is a connection between abortion and breast cancer. Can you help them understand how that all transpires when a woman abruptly cuts off her pregnancy as her breast is maturing?
Right. Actually, it is very interesting. The breast is the only organ that is not fully mature at the time of birth. In other words, your kidney, your lungs, your liver, they all function essentially completely and are completely mature at the time of birth. But women have the only organ that is not fully mature at time of birth, and that's the breast. The breast has little lobules in it. And especially for radio, I like to ask people to imagine just a head of broccoli with all the little flowerets at the end. That's what it would look like in the breast when the little milk ducts. If you consider all those little ends full of milk, that's essentially what a breast looks like when the cells mature to produce milk. And that is a protective factor. There are four stages, and young girls, as we know, have very flat breasts. They only have lobules. These little breast cells are called lobules. They're like the little branches that come off of the broccoli. And those are immature in a young girl. She has lobules 1 and 2, very small amount. Then as she approaches puberty and her breasts start to grow, it's because estrogen it makes breasts grow, and it's one of the hormones, there are other hormones as well involved, that makes a breast grow. And so as the breast grows, she gets more and more of these type 1 and type 2 lobules. But we already know, what's interesting is that a woman, a full-grown woman, who never has a child, essentially never lets, her breasts never develop into mature breasts. And they never get the little end caps that we see on the broccoli, the little flat florets that are on there. The branches are left bare. And as estrogen runs through the body, this is not a good thing, simply because estrogen is a carcinogen. And last year, in 2005, and I think it was August of 2005, the World Health Organization made a statement saying that estrogen is carcinogenic. And this estrogen against those susceptible breast cells are where breast cancers form. Now, once those cells change and the body produces milk through those cells, each of those are like little end caps that protect the sensitive ends from becoming cancerous. So a woman who has an abortion before 32 weeks of pregnancy remains with all of this extra estrogen, which was happening when, you know, how women's breasts get bigger when they're getting ready to have a baby.
Absolutely.
The
downside is that if they have an abortion before 32 weeks, they have developed all these new 1 and 2 lobules, the lobules 1 and 2. And now those little cells are now susceptible to breast cancer. Now, if she allows her pregnancy to go through and passes that 32nd week, then those lobules start to change into milk-producing cells, and those cells are lobules 3 and 4, and they are protective. Now, I have a lot of people say to me, Eve, how is it possible that estrogen could be in my body if it's carcinogenic? And I say to them, well, you know, you've got acids in your stomach, and I never heard you complaining about that.
Mm-hmm.
Those acids that are in our stomach, if we eat properly and take care of our body, they don't do anything to damage us. And it's the same thing with estrogen. If our bodies do what they're supposed to do, which is to have a baby and produce a child and nurse your child, because nursing makes a huge difference as well, well, those things will be protective for our bodies.
So if a woman gets pregnant and carries that child to term, what you're saying is she's not going to have that susceptibility to cancer because the lobules develop what you called like an end cap and protect us from the carcinogens.
That's exactly correct.
Okay.
We know that there are many women who have breast cancers and never had abortions. So we know that there are different kinds of things that cause abortions. And those women should not be, you know, ostracized or whatever because they never had an abortion. What we're saying is that there is a specific physiological pathway, and we know that this is true. The research was done by Drs. Jose and Irma Russo from Fox Chase Cancer Center quite some time ago. And that research proved that there is a physiological pathway between abortion and breast cancer. And so we know that that's a fact. So what we're saying is that not having an abortion, that's one way of preventing breast cancer.
Well, Eve, we hear so much, especially in the month of September in Colorado, because the race for the cure is in October, the first weekend in October. And all we hear, we see the pink little ribbons everywhere. We hear about breast cancer for this entire next month. Why aren't we hearing this? Why aren't we hearing that there's a link between abortion and breast cancer? If this fight is a legitimate fight that's actually trying to inform women how to stay healthy.
Right. You'd think that you'd hear more, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It's a very disturbing thing. You're talking about the pink ribbons and so on. I was a member of the National Hispanic Latina Advisory Council for the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation for 4 years. Mm. And in that fourth year, I learned that the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation actually funds Planned Parenthood. It's an amazing truth. In 2003, of the $38.4 million that they raised for community service, $475,000 went from the Komen Foundation from 21 Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation affiliates. They sent 21 grants to Planned Parenthood.
And, you know, actually a lot of that, or some of that money, a sizable chunk of it, did come to Colorado. I think Colorado Springs Planned Parenthood got
a major grant.
But, Eve, you know, what they try to battle back with our criticism about how ridiculous that is to give the nation's biggest abortion provider.
And I can tell you what they say.
Okay.
The number one thing that they say is, we are helping
screening.
The poor women who are unable to have breast services.
Right.
So we are providing them with breast services. And we are the ones that are helping them to have these breast services. So we are actually helping. And that's an absolute lie. It is a lie. And the reason that we know that it is a lie is that because research has shown us from their own statistics that is not the case, and that they have indeed, you think breast services would have gone up, right, if they were getting all this money?
Yes.
And it has actually, they went down.
You mean their breast screening services have gone down? They're not screening as many women?
Exactly.
Well, how can that be?
Well, it's very simple. Money is fungible, and they may say that they're giving their money to protect women, you know, protect them from breast cancers and so on, and that's what they're essentially doing. But the truth of it is that they have not done that at all.
You know, anyone that gives money to Planned Parenthood is just helping them to line one pocket so they can use the other pocket.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Money is fungible. That means that.
Yes.
If we give, let's say there were women running in their sneakers, and they're saying that they want to serve, they want to run because for all the different reasons that women run. They run for their aunts, they run for themselves, they run for someone they love. Now, do you think that those women, if they know that part of the money that they're running for is going to be used by Planned Parenthood, do you think that's why they're running? No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's not why they're running. And the fact that Planned Parenthood and the Susan G. Komen have any kind of relationship is ridiculous.
You're right about that, Eve. They're not running for Planned Parenthood, but most of the women running don't even know what Planned Parenthood does.
Right.
It's just amazing. Leslie and I pick it at a local Planned Parenthood here in Denver often. And the women walking in there, they know what's going on in there because they have an appointment for an abortion. But when we go to out away from the clinic and we're talking to the general public, they say Planned Parenthood does wonderful things. They plan families. They don't know. That's not even getting out.
No, they're not planning families. Planned Parenthood is not in the business of planning families. Planned Parenthood is in the business of killing people.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
We are aware of the fact that there is their business. They are in the business and were set up in order to kill people. How can I say that? Their founder, the woman, nobody ever wants to hear about her.
Margaret
but
Sanger.
Her name is Margaret Sanger, and still over at least one of the clinics where Planned Parenthood is, it says, creating a race of thoroughbreds.
Absolutely. She used to call minorities human weeds.
That's right. And she had, she said a whole lot of things that about minorities especially. And I have a special bone to pick with Planned Parenthood because I happen to be Native American Latina. And in our history, we know for a fact that Planned Parenthood targets specifically minority people. How do we know that? Because 80% of their places are in minority neighborhoods.
Absolutely.
We've been, Leslie and I both have been all over the country to different Planned Parenthoods, and they're always in ethnic communities, always.
Exactly. And Planned Parenthood would love to continue putting their places, their abortuaries, the places where they kill people. They would love to put those in those neighborhoods. And then what they do is then they try and encourage women to use other services to come in for your pap smear, come in for, and what happens? You become comfortable and the people seem to be nice. And then when they say, well, you know, I understand you're pregnant, but, you know, you already have three children. Well, let's get rid of the fourth one. It's a terrible progressive genocide of unfavored races. And in America today, almost as many black children are aborted as are born. And a black baby is three times more likely to be aborted than a white baby. And since 1973, abortion has reduced the black population by 25%.
That's right.
25% of all, the whole black population has been destroyed, murdered by Planned Parenthood. 13% of all the black American women have 35% of all the abortions in America. And people can see those statistics at KlanParenthood.com.
Oh, that's a great site, Eve.
Yeah.
KlanParenthood.com. It's an excellent site.
Yesterday, Eve, we had a real big blow-up in the press because Bob Beaupre, who is a congressman from Colorado and he's running for governor, he made a statement that 70% of black babies are aborted. And he did misspeak. I mean, we know it's not quite 70%, but it's getting close. It's for sure more than 50%. And, you should have heard the Black Ministerial Alliance. Reverend Holmes said he was a despicable person for even daring to say that. It's just incredible how misinformed their community is.
The fact of the matter is he may have gotten his numbers a little bit off, but they're not way off.
I know. No.
Let's say this. What did he say? He said how many percent?
70%.
Let's say he said 35%, half.
Right.
Is that acceptable?
No.
They are killing our kids. They are killing our children.
Not
10%. And that is not acceptable. They are putting everything that we have held dear as a nation.
We brought
on the line.
Reverend Childress in from LEARN to speak to the Black Ministerial Association here in Denver, and it did absolutely no good. You know, now the first chance they get, Reverend Holmes is furious because Beaupre misspoke by a little bit, yet he doesn't take 1 minute to help us out on the streets reach the black community. I've been trying to get into the black community for over 10 years here in Colorado. And they're just absolutely impossible. I can't get through to them. I can't get any of them to raise an eyebrow.
Let me explain this, though. In many cultures, this is no offense to you, Joe, But
I know.
In many cultures, if you have not earned the respect, you're not going to get the attention. And it has not got anything to do with anything you've done wrong, but rather just simply the fact that we need for black people to wake up and see this for themselves. They will get in, and they will speak up. And we're starting to see that. We're starting to see black Americans saying, no, no, wait a second, 25% of all of us have been murdered? Would they put up with that in any other way?
Of course not.
If we corralled people and, you know, just took care of 25% of any ethnic group,
and
would they not say that this is ethnic cleansing? That's exactly what's going on. There's no difference between the eugenics of America and the eugenics
of Germany.
Of Hitler.
Yeah. You know, one of the other things that happens with abortion is we always see when we read the statistics that the minority populations have more complications than the
yes,
Caucasian.
It's absolutely true, and as a matter of fact, Latino women and black women have way more aggressive cancers. They are usually found later, and they have much poorer outcomes than their white counterparts. And another thing is that lately, the latest research shows that African American women are very susceptible to cancers of the breast, and abortion is one thing that they can do to keep that from happening. You know, it's such an incredible thing because I know in my culture and in the culture of African American women and other ethnic groups, it used to be that abortion was genocide, and we know now for a fact that the better educated women are turning to abortion to answer questions and to, you know, they think that this is going to make their lives better and more have a better station in life and be able to attain more. But the fact of the matter is, it's like Karen Malik of the abortion of the
abortion
Coalition on Abortion
Breast
Cancer says, and she's absolutely right, she says that she has seen more children crying in the halls of mothers who are in the hospitals with breast cancer. And, you know, that perspective of the young child standing in the hallway watching his mother die, that's a horrible thing. I don't want that for anyone. And I've been on both sides of the breast cancer situation as a medical research analyst and as a survivor of abortion and as a survivor of breast cancer, and I'm angry. And
you
I think
be.
That people need to wake up and realize we are paying for abortions with our tax money. 20% of all Title X, the money that's used by Planned Parenthood, Planned Parenthood affiliates operate 14% of Title X-supported clinics, and 20% of all Title X clients are black, and 23% identified themselves as either, you know, Hispanic or Latino. We're talking about targeting a specific group of people. And if you go to the Planned Parenthood, anyone who's got a radio and is listening to this can also get on their computers and go to their site and see the kind of people that they portray.
The minorities.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Eve, I know.
These things affect white women as well, and it's very important to realize this affects us all.
Absolutely. Eve, if the people in the audience are interested in learning more about the connection between Komen, the Race for the Cure, giving money to Planned Parenthood, your website, pinkmoney.org, is a good place for them to go. Is that correct?
Yeah, pinkmoney.org has put up a lot of information that I've provided, and they can get a lot of information. Also, let me say this very clearly. I'm going to be speaking in Dallas first, actually next Saturday, and that's the 9th, I believe. And the BCPInstitute.org, that's the Breast Cancer Prevention Institute.
Dr. Joel Brind.
Dr. Joel Brind, exactly. He's the world's foremost authority on the abortion breast cancer link. Dr. Angela Lanfranchi, who's an absolute stalwart individual and vice president of the organization, will be speaking there as well, and myself from Clear Research. And their website is bcpinstitute.org. Also, Karen Malik has been a great fighter against lies and the fact that information is not getting out on the abortion breast cancer link. And her site is breast cancer.
It's abortionbreastcancer.com.
That's right, abortionbreastcancer.com. And, of course, pinkmoney.org. Also, for those who are listening who are Native American, they're in Colorado, there's a website, nativelife.us, for anyone who's interested in seeing what's happening by with Planned Parenthood. If you come to the talk in Denver at the end of the month, where Leslie is setting up, you'll be able to hear me talk about what has happened with the Native American population being targeted by Planned Parenthood. So that's something that people may want to come out and hear.
September 30th at the Doubletree in the Denver Tech Center area. If people are interested in attending this banquet, a Light on Life banquet with Colorado Right to Life and hearing Eve Silver, they can call 303-753-9394 for tickets. I believe the dinner tickets are $50. The event starts about 6 p.m., and we are hopeful that you'll have a good crowd to be educating and informing. Eve, we're sure grateful that you're going to be coming.
Oh, you're very welcome, and I'm very happy to have this opportunity. Any opportunity to speak is very important, and I hope I have many more opportunities to speak on this. I think young people, older people, everyone needs to be aware, because the way that things are going in our society, people are more concerned about maintaining societal perspectives rigorously than they are about saving human lives. There's something wrong with that. We need to expose it.
About saving women's lives in particular.
Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
Even with the Plan B, handing steroids out like they're candy to teenagers, men would never take those steroids.
Yes,
they're illegal.
But it is men who will have access to that so that they can give it to their young girls.
Yes.
Without their knowledge.
Because the law says over 18. Well, that's fine. Young men now can go over 18, pick up the drugs, bring it home, and give it to their girls.
That's right.
So it's another way of putting women even further down. And I'm not a feminist. However, I know that God has placed us in an elevated position. And I see more and more how women are being trampled by those who claim that abortion rights equal health for women. And I think that because that's a lie, it should really be exposed.
Exposed, and they need to be smeared for all the murder they've caused and the complications in women's lives. We only have a few seconds left in this half hour, Eve. I'm thrilled to announce that you're going to be on next half hour in the Iowa area, and it's a college town, and this really needs to get out to college kids.
Absolutely, so. Especially since we know that pregnancy is protective.
Eve, we've got to go. We'll be back after the next commercial. We're just hoping that the kids in Iowa, especially in the college towns, will listen and understand the link between abortion and breast cancer. Thank you so much, Eve. We'll be back right after this. Joe Scott sitting in for Bob Benyart, and my guest today is Eve Silver. Eve, welcome back. Today our topic is abortion, the link between abortion and breast cancer, and Eve is has been linked with the Komen Foundation for 4 years. She's a two-time survivor of abortion and breast cancer. Two-time abortion and two bouts, actually, with breast cancer. So we want to welcome you back, Eve. Hello.
Hi.
Nice to have you back. Thanks for joining us again, Eve, for this half hour. Yeah, I want to ask you a couple of things. I want to talk a little bit more about the Komen Foundation and Nancy Brinker. Who is Nancy Brinker?
That's a very interesting question. Nancy Brinker actually is the founder of the organization, the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation, was founded when Nancy Brinker's sister, Susan Goodman, was struck by breast cancer. Pretty serious, sad situation. She is the founder. And in 2000, the interesting thing about the Komen Foundation and Planned Parenthood is that, like, as we're seeing, there are a lot of political interwoven relationships between Planned Parenthood and many organizations. Nancy Brinker, the founder of Susan G. Komen Foundation, in 2002 she was on the advisory council of Planned Parenthood of North Texas. So she was an advisory person to Planned Parenthood of North Texas in 2002. And in 2003, the following year, the organization she was advising gave the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation $475,000 in 21 affiliate grants.
And I have before me here that Texas received $21 million.
Yes.
And then didn't they build a huge facility in North Texas?
Yes, they did. In 2003, that's that same year that Komen felt compelled to give the money that women in sneakers had raced and run to raise.
For their relatives, their sisters,
for their relatives,
their moms.
Komen felt compelled to give Planned Parenthood of North Texas money, and they built a $5 million facility in North Texas. You tell me if that's not a conflict of interest.
Very, very suspicious, to say the least. Do you know why she would be on an advisory board for Planned Parenthood? I mean, what would attract her to Planned Parenthood? Doesn't she know about the link?
I would say that she's probably very well aware of the link, but there are sociological and situations interwoven, as I said, that cause so many organizations to tie in with Planned Parenthood. They are very, very powerful indeed. As we have heard recently, I don't know if you have heard this situation, but it turns out that Yale University is using, in Connecticut, Planned Parenthood of Connecticut is training physicians for Yale University.
Well, they're training abortionists at
Yes, exactly. This is where I was going with that. Yeah. That they are training physicians, and their hope is that they will become abortionists, because there are a lot of other countries and states where abortionists are now actually a dying breed.
Right. I read about that, and they said that the Rocky Mountain area is one of the areas they're targeting with these Yale-educated abortionists.
Absolutely. So let me tell you something. As we're, you know, we're talking about the breast services and the amount of money that the Komen Foundation was giving them, let's presume they were giving them to the Planned Parenthood for breast services. We would assume breast services are up, right?
Right.
Planned Parenthood's breast services are down. Planned Parenthood services between 2002 and 2003, which is the year 2003 was the year they were given the money.
Yes.
Abortions increased by 14,000, while breast exams decreased by more than 141,000.
You're kidding.
No.
So obviously the money isn't going to the breast examinations and to prevent cancer. In fact, it looks like it's going to cause cancer.
Exactly. There is obviously some sort of a connection here, and you have to look beyond the money, and I totally agree. But it's not just the Komen Foundation. We are giving money in our own taxes. 70% of the money that Planned Parenthood, which is supposed to be a nonprofit organization, by the way, 70% of their money comes from federal funding.
Right. I was looking into that before the show today, and it's just amazing. It's amazing. It doesn't just get Title X money. It gets all kinds of state and local
tax money. Oh, especially Medicaid
money.
It gets huge Medicaid money. And it gets money from individual states as well.
Yeah, it actually got more from Medicaid in 2001 than it did from the Title X monies.
That's right. Pink money, I call it pink money. These are the organizations that are tied in with the abortion machine, the Komen Foundation, and so on. These organizations that raise pink money, however, their ideology is red. Their ideology is Planned Parenthood red.
Right.
And their money, just Komen money, flows through the veins of this organization.
That's right. I have another question for you about, well, in where we're being broadcast right now in Iowa. Unfortunately, Leslie, the vice president of Colorado Right to Life, had to leave us. So it's just you and I now, Eve.
Okay.
In Iowa, there's a lot of college towns. If I'm going to college in Iowa, am I likely to find a Planned Parenthood close by?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. You're likely to find them right on campus or right in the neighborhood, definitely. Unhappily, women who are in college are encouraged to believe that there's no way for them to continue with their education should they become pregnant. Have you heard of an organization called Feminists for Life?
Yes, I have.
The head of that organization is Sarah Foster, and they are attempting and having actually succeeded on a number of campuses of putting daycare centers and so on, because they recognize the fact that men and women who think they would have their child feel that there's no way out because the college system is such that pregnancy is definitely a problem. Of course, you know, we would like to see women who are pregnant in a situation where they're married. But should they have a child outside of marriage, what happens to that baby? What happens to that woman? Generally, there's not a whole lot of help available to them. And so those organizations like Sarah Foster's Feminists for Life, they are encouraging women to have their children because they recognize the abortion breast cancer link, for instance. And they understand that these other organizations are targeting these young women.
For abortion.
Yes, absolutely.
And on that same campus, would I find people signing some of the students up to run in the race?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. There's a great push for young women to be involved in those organizations. But not just in those organizations, in Planned Parenthood as well. Planned Parenthood has programs targeting teens. Their Teen Wire program, for instance. Waco Right to Life had a real serious problem. It's a pro-life group in Waco, Texas. And they discovered that link, and actually I found out about it through that organization, and they started waking parents up to the information that they were releasing. The fact is that Margaret Sanger's perspective was free sex for everybody. Everyone should be encouraged to have sex. And anyone who is not the right kind of person, whether that's because their color is different or because there's some kind of a mental problem, whatever, they didn't want these genetic defectives to continue alive. In Puerto Rico, a number of years ago, there were 20,000 women were sterilized without even their understanding.
I read about that.
And there's an excellent film that's available, and it's called La Operación. It has subtitles, and if you go online, you can find it. It's called La Operación. And it actually interviews women from that time period and asks them what they were told and how they were, and it shows what was happening in Puerto Rico, where it was becoming a very much of a resort area, and the government of the United States thought it would be a nice way to raise some money, and one of the things that they wanted to do was lower the population by sterilizing women. And it worked.
That's right.
It worked.
So if I'm on campus, and I'm going to be registered, or someone comes up to me and asks me to register for the Race for the Cure, and I know what about this because of this show today. What should the girl that's being asked say? Should she say, I understand that the Komen Foundation is funded by Planned Parenthood. That's not what I want to race for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know something? I am furious that young people in America, I wonder, do they realize that these organizations like Planned Parenthood, the Komen Foundation, these other organizations that ask them to give up their body parts, like, you know, or, you know, harvest their eggs and all this, they're essentially saying to them, young people, you are so stupid that you do not understand what is happening to you. You're so stupid that I can control your destiny and the destiny of the children you might have. I can change your life so that you will die in a short time because of breast cancer, that you may have breast cancer, that you may lose your breasts. I had a bilateral mastectomy. I left home when I was 14 years old, and I was pregnant by the time I was 16, and I had a bilateral mastectomy.
Can you explain what that is?
A bilateral mastectomy means that I had breast cancer, they removed it. I got breast cancer again in the very same breast, and I have a very strong family history of breast cancer, and so I lost both of my breasts. I have implants rather than breasts. And it is a very sad thing to hold your little girl, my first grandchild, to my salt-filled breasts is a very sad thing.
Yes.
I encourage young women to understand that the very thing that makes them feel feminine and sexual, their breasts. Many women have orgasmic situations with their breasts. I mean, it sounds like something we shouldn't be talking about. These are the things that we do need to mention, that these sexual organs, and also with your breasts, you nurture your children, you take care of your loved ones, you hold your loved ones to your breast. You want to keep those. You might need them later. And young women are not being told that. Young men don't realize that because of their sexual behavior and indiscretions, they often put women in situations where now they'll be able to get, let's say, Plan B or something like this. And those young women will be exposed more and more to their own estrogens, and that's essentially the problem.
Eve, wasn't breast cancer an old woman's disease at one point in time?
Yes, before, guess what? Roe v. Wade.
Yeah.
It was a disease that affected women in their 60s. And still, the majority of women who are affected are in their 60s and above. However, and this is an important point, since Roe v. Wade, there has been a 40% increase in breast cancers. And that is in the generation who would have been of childbearing age. Not, in other words, people say, well, it was a 40% increase. It could have been anybody. No, the women who are older have not had an increase in their breast cancers, and the women who are younger, very young, have not had an increase. Only those in the spread of age who would have been having abortions specifically.
That's right.
It is in that group, that 40% increase.
And that's not an accident. They would love us to think that it's just an accident, or maybe it's air pollution.
Not at all. We need to mention again, there's a physiological pathway between abortion and breast cancer because the breast matures only after 32 weeks of pregnancy. And that is a fact. It is a physiological fact. When you hear people say to you, anyone from the Komen Foundation, Planned Parenthood, say to you, that is not proven. Yes, it is proven. It is proven fact. It has been proven by doctors Russo and Russo from Fox Chase Cancer Center. They wrote papers on this, and it is a fact. They are researchers, breast cancer researchers.
Yes, and you can find this information on abortionbreastcancer.com
and also on my site, which is clearresearch.org pinkmoney.org.
Also, I have another question for
you.
South Dakota is trying to ban abortion, but there was one Indian reservation that said, well, we'll open our own abortion clinic on the reservation. Now, that didn't work out, but I'm curious to know what you know about that situation.
Yes, that was quite an amazing, I think very powerful for those of us who are Native American. I'm Native American Latina.
So am I.
I think that it was quite an important situation that happened. In that situation, first of all, it's important to note that some time back there was a Planned Parenthood had been talking. It was known that Planned Parenthood was planning on having abortion. Places where they kill people, in areas like, for instance, the Canadian border. Also, they were planning on doing that in other areas as well, like, for instance, reservations, Native reservations, Native American reservations. Why would they put them there, do you think?
Well, it's an ethnic group they're not real pleased with, I would imagine.
Exactly, exactly. They wanted to put these in areas where rural areas, and especially areas like reservations, where the government could not intrude, but not the government, really. It's not the government that they didn't want. They didn't want us. They didn't want anyone speaking against what they were doing.
Right.
And so they tried to do that in, they were talking about doing it in, on reservations. However, there was an Ogallala chief, her name was Chief Cecilia Firesunder, and Chief Firesunder said that she wanted to open the first place where these abortions would take place on a reservation in South Dakota. And the people of South Dakota rose up against her. The people of the reservation rose up against her. It was found out that she had been someone who was working at Planned Parenthood centers, and that her background was in abortion and death.
And killing people.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly the situation. And she is no longer a chief.
No, she was let go, but the reason this was supposedly going to be such a successful center is because South Dakota is trying to ban all abortion, and she raises up and says, oh, no, we're going to do it here.
Well, see, but that I think she was premature because this was a plan. This is a plan in Planned Parenthood. Anyone interested in finding out more about that, if you go to nativelife.us, there's a site called nativelife.us, and it's a site for preserving Native lives. And the Ogallala chief was ousted for proposing this reservation abortion clinic. And what is Planned Parenthood going to do? I think it was premature on her part. The fact that she wanted to do that didn't mean that they were able to get across. There are a lot of steps. Planned Parenthood has a long arm and a long sight and a long vision as well. And so they are interested in setting up abortuaries in those situations. This first Native American, the idea of putting Native American, making Native American reservations abortuaries on those sites was reported in the Ryan Report in November of 2004. And here we are 2 years later, and suddenly there's this woman who has spoken out and decided that this was something that she wanted to do. It was, I believe, a little bit premature. And so she was caught out, so to speak, and so was Planned Parenthood. It was still a fulfillment of a Planned Parenthood plan if they had gotten that across.
So what you're saying is if they would have had time to come in and prepare this reservation to accept Planned Parenthood with open arms.
That's right.
Because like other liberals, what they do is they walk in and they create a catastrophe. They create a situation that needs a remedy and they know what the remedy is.
Exactly.
Let's kill somebody.
Exactly. And it stinks. The whole idea and the whole perspective of setting up a people, and this is why I'm saying, we're not as stupid as Planned Parenthood wants us to think we are. And we're beginning to inform one another. Pablo Sanchez is from, he's from prolifejoes.com. It's called www.prolifejoes.com. He says that the main problem for all people, including men, he's a man who was involved in an abortion that he has regretted for all of his life, and he has a site for men, and he thinks men should stand up and speak up about these things. And many men have joined his organization and are vocal now. What he says is that communication is the main problem about abortion, breast cancer link, and abortion in general. He thinks people should be speaking up. And if we do, we will make a difference. Because there are many situations where the American people have stood up and said, no, we're not doing this anymore, made changes.
We need as many media outlets as we can get behind us to speak up, because the left has all the media that they need, and we've got to fight media to get our word out.
We have two very important ways of reaching out to people. One is going out to speak, and speaking to people wherever you are. If you're at home and you think, I can't get involved in an organization, but you have family, you have friends, you have your young neighbors, you have other people at school, you can speak up. I go to speak in any university that will pay my way. I will be there, and I will speak, and I will talk to young people about this. It's an incredibly important thing. I've had opportunities to speak at Harvard, at Wellesley. I have been able to speak at a number of universities, Princeton. I've been invited by students to come and speak because it is an important issue and they want to spread the word.
That's something students can do, too. They can get in touch with you at your website at clearresearch.org, right?
That's right, www.clearresearch.org. If they want to, they can write to me at eve@evesilver.com. And I'm happy to speak with anyone who wants to write in and let me know what their perspectives are. I'm happy to help them to understand the situation. I'm happy to help people realize that we've got to make a difference. Women are dying.
They need to understand that when they listen to Planned Parenthood, they're listening to the entity that's making all the money off of their diseases.
That's right. There's a deputy attorney general in New Jersey who said, never let a mortician take your pulse.
That's right.
And
they
stand to make huge amount of money. Abortion is a $1 billion industry in the United States, and imagine what it's like in the world. And the United States is pumping money out to try and control births in other countries as well.
That's right.
It is a real serious problem and something that we have to deal with now, especially because from my perspective and where I stand, I don't want any young woman to have to go through what I have gone through. I was fairly young when I started when my breast cancer first appeared. And the other thing is, all you young women who are listening to me, you have a family history you may not know about. When I was young, I didn't know what my family history was because my history was still in my future.
That's
right. I didn't know that my mother was going to develop breast cancer. I didn't know that my grandmother was going to die of breast cancer. I didn't know that one of my cousins, a year younger than me, who had never had sex, died of breast cancer.
Eve, that's a real important point. You don't, when you're 16, know what your future's going to be like. Your relatives are still alive, and you don't know what's going to happen 20 years down the line.
Exactly.
You said it perfectly.
I had no way of knowing because my history was still in my future. And your history, young woman, you listening to me now, is the same.
Eve, our time is up. Our time is up. Thank you so much. This is valuable, important information for everyone.
Thanks for having me, Gerald.
Please call in or write into kgov.com. Check the website. We will have information there for you. You can download this, listen to it, share it with friends. Thanks for listening.